Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 245, the stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place through all the ages of our race. Before the mountains had their birth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, from everlasting thou art God to everlasting our abode. And what follows? Psalter 245, the stanzas 1 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 119, the verses 73 through 88. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord, thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 119, the verses 73 through 88. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness before my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause. But I will meditate in thy precepts. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Let my heart be sound in thy statutes, that I be not ashamed. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so shall I keep the testimony of thy mouth. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer the mourning Habor family. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of all the earth, thou who hast created everything out of nothing, and upholdest the same by thy divine providence, and where thou hast given unto us and our children another Lord's Day, and then the solemnest of old has declared that he went up to thy temple in the multitude of thy mercies. And so as we may be gathered here together, then thou hast spared and cared for us. But, Lord, in the past week, then thou hast also taken one out of her midst, after a time of sickness, of declension, and yet so suddenly he was ushered into eternity. We have a mourning family in our midst. Thou hast granted traveling mercies, that many may come over the ocean. And then we commend them all unto thee. With that large empty place, where thou wast taken out of the midst of the family circle, a dear husband, father, son, son-in-law, brother, and further family member, Lord, do remember her who has now become a widow, and that shall become more and more reality. Remember the young children who have lost their dear father, who have now become half orphans. Remember the mother, the in-laws, who shall be called upon to bury a dear son. Lord, do remember, do uphold, and do strengthen the whole mourning family, and that it may please thee by the work of thy Spirit, that this calling may be richly sanctified to the hearts of young and old. Oh, that this calling may be used, that many dead sinners may be quickened. Oh, Lord, how necessary the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then when by renewal the calling of death has come into our midst, then we all do well to examine how it is with our never-dying soul, to examine on which pathway we are traveling, to examine where our journey is to. Lord, may it please thee to then work mightily and irresistibly by thy Holy Spirit, that thy word may be used to that end, that dead sinners may be quickened, that they may be made alive, and that it all may become reality before it becomes reality at the end. Oh, thou still profferest peace and pardon to the chiefest of sinners, to lost sinners, to hell-worthy sinners, ah, Lord. Then it is thy work to make us a sinner, but it is also the work of the Spirit to reveal that only way in thy beloved Son as the way to the Father. Then we may live in a time that we are called upon to meditate upon the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, an advent time, ah, Lord, when that need is not in our lives, wilt thou work it? And when thou hast begun, wilt thou fulfill that need? But also in the further exercises, and also in the life of thy children, to receive a deeper instruction, and to experience that sweet communion, ah, Lord, in the New Testament church, there was a true Advent people, and may they be found amongst us. Then we read of that old Zacharias and Elizabeth walking blameless in the ordinances of God, but with an unheard, oh, it was heard, their prayers, but it was still an unanswered prayer. And then thou wast wrought so wonderfully that there was a time that they may embrace their little John. Ah, there was a Mary, a Joseph, that were given to walk in the tender fear of the Lord. And were that Mary, but also a Joseph, have received such wonderful, such profound instruction concerning thy dear Son, oh, his name would be called Jesus, because he has come to save his people from their sins. Oh, the shepherds in that dark night, where thou hast come with such a glorious message. Ah, there was that Simeon with an unfulfilled promise, who has come by thy Spirit into the temple, who was given to embrace the Christ child, and given to sing thy glorious praises, O Anna, that old Anna, that was so busy with the things of the Lord. Then she has also beheld wonderful things, O Lord. Wilt thou grant it unto us and our children? May the prayers be multiplied to that end. May the unconverted, may they be aroused to a holy jealousy. Wilt thou so bless thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth? Remember also our branch. Remember the readers. Oh, do bless thy word to young and old. Lord, then we commend unto thee the manifold needs. Do remember all the mourning ones. Then wounds are reopened. Ah, continue to uphold, to strengthen, and to comfort. Remember all the sick and the afflicted, and those that stand in need of healing and of strengthening. Remember those with serious concerns under the physician's care. Remember the difficulties of the mind. Remember the crosses and the burdens. Ah, then also in those ways, then thou wert speaking in special ways. And, O Lord, come then over in these callings, because we cannot remain the same, either humbled or we shall be hardened. Ah, Lord, have then mercy upon us and our dear children as we hasten through this time to that never-ending eternity. Wilt thou remember our brother elder, together with one of thy servants and the administrator of the mission board, who are upon the mission field. Wilt thou grant them a good and a special Lord's Day upon our mission field. May thy word, and may it be richly blessed. We humbly ask thee for thy help in this morning hour. Oh, do open thy precious testimony. And then it is so needful that each time by renewal that we speak as a dying man to a dying people. May thy word come not in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost, and with much assurance. May it go forth with power divine. Ah, do go then from bench to bench, from heart to heart, those lawfully hindered, from dwelling to dwelling. May the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 389, the stanzas 3, 4, 5, and 6. Recalling former days and all thy wondrous deeds, the memory of thy ways to hope and comfort leads. To thee I stretch my hands, let me not plead in vain. And what follows, Psalter 389, the stanzas 3 through 6.
Thank you.
In this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 119, the verses 81 and 82, where God's word and our text reads thus, My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, When wilt thou comfort me? Our text words speak of the exercises of the soul of the true Advent Church, with three thoughts. In the first place, the fainting soul. Secondly, the hoping soul. And thirdly, the questioning soul. The exercises of the soul of the true Advent Church. The fainting soul, the hoping soul, and the questioning soul. Beloved congregation, in our texts, then we read of an Advent soul. And when we think of Advent, then that can be under different circumstances and different conditions. When it pleases the Lord to begin that good work, and he holds the mirror of his holy law before us, and it all becomes real, that we lie under God's wrath, then the prayer is born for mercy, whether there is yet mercy for such a one. And further, when such an Advent soul is worked out, impossible from their side, then the urgency becomes greater that that precious Savior, that a way may be revealed in congregation. There is only one way, because they read in Acts 4 verse 12 that there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. But for the Advent Church, oh, it is true. In that revelation there lies such a fullness, in that precious Jesus. Then the whole world can be saved, then I can also be saved. But then a privilege and a blessing, when there may also be an Advent Church that need the application applied to their heart. And then in the furtherance, when the Advent Church, when they may be given to seek, because in the life of the true child of God, when it may be right, and so often it is not right, but when it may be lively, then it shall be an Advent Church desiring that sweet communion, Lord, with thee, and an Advent Church that is given to us for further instruction concerning the works of a triune God. And when we think of Psalm 51 verse 12, When David has declared, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Oh, for a backsliding church, think of the bride in the Song of Solomon that is laid on the bed of slothfulness, that has not went to the door to open the door for her beloved. Ah, then by renewal, then it became so lively, then she has come in the guilt, and then she was given to become an Advent church. She is even asked the daughters of Jerusalem to help to find her bride by renewal. Our text words, they have been taken out of Psalm 119. Her boys and girls know that it is the longest psalm. It is a psalm that is divided into 22 sections of 8 verses each, and then each section in the Hebrew, then each of 8 verses will begin with a certain letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and our text words have been taken out of the 11th portion, and then the name of that Hebrew letter, boys and girls, is written above these 8 verses. Sometime, then Psalm 119 is called the ABC of the Christian. And that Psalm that speaks of precepts, of resolutions, vows, and of prayer. And then in each of the verses, except about 3, then in each of the verses of Psalm 119, there is a word that points to the word, the law, the statutes, the testimonies. We find the expression, thy word, in Psalm 119, 40 times. And thy law, we find it 25 times. And Matthew Henry has written, he who reads it carefully and prayerfully, it either warms him or condemns and confounds. And now we read in our text words that it speaks of thy salvation, a salvation thought out by a triune God, a salvation merited by Christ, and also a merited given and applied to the soul by the work of the Holy Spirit. We find that expression in this psalm 6 times, and we find it more frequently as we come to the end of this psalm. Thus, that means congregation in the context of that fainting, of that hoping, and of that questioning soul, that it is in the context of a tender and close life with the Lord and with his word. Because when that is not so, then we can speak religiously, but then it shall not be in truth and uprightness, that it shall be our text words. Oh, the psalmist, with everything that he has experienced, because we are nearly halfway in this psalm, then still a dependent psalmist, and then he had a desire to experience each time by renewal, tokens of the Lord's favor, because we have read it together. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness before my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Thus then the psalmist stood in need of merciful kindness. And then in verse 77, let thy tender mercies come unto me that I may live, for thy law is my delight. And now the Lord has a people upon the earth that have tasted of that merciful kindness, of those tender mercies, tokens of the Lord's favor, that their hope may be enlivened, that they may receive courage. But what does that people now need? Oh, it is true. The Lord shall never forsake the work of his own hands, but it is now the work of the Spirit. Oh, think of the Old Testament church. They have experienced many a blessings and many a favor, but they were given to long for the day that the promised Messiah would come. Did not mean that they all had a proper understanding, but with all the merciful kindness and their privileges, that was a people that needed the Messiah. And so it is the work of the Holy Spirit in the heart of his elect to uncover deeper and deeper and to experience that with that merciful kindness and those tokens, they still have a heavenly high guilt, and therefore they need, as we read in our text, thy salvation. And then also in the context, as we read in verse 78, persecution. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. The Lord has created mankind, as we read in Genesis 2, with a body and with a soul. When we read in the scriptures of the soul, then at times it speaks specifically of the soul, and other times it speaks of the whole person, all the inward man. Then a David is given to express that with his all, with his heart, with his mind, with his strength, that he was given to faint for thy salvation. And that word faint, congregation, that is a profound, that is a strong word, that is a word of a soul that is looking, oh, that as it were, that is pining away, that the need is so great, so vehement, that they cannot live without that salvation. Oh, the Lord has a people who were taught that one thing needful. In congregation, we are all traveling to eternity, and we have experienced it by renewal, that there is one step between us and death, and even in the midst of sickness, that death many times yet comes so suddenly. Oh, in the midst of the congregation, the Lord has taken two out of our midst hitherto, 14 and 48. The Lord has spared the elderly, but in light of that never-ending eternity, then there is not so much difference. And then there is one thing needful, that shall be the matter that counts at the end, whether we have been wrought upon by the Holy Spirit, and whether we have experienced and tasted something of thy salvation, the work of a triune God, to receive the forgiveness of our sins. And what a blessing. Oh, it is all the work of the Lord, because even in that longing and that fainting, then they shall taste of the tender loving kindness of the Lord, tokens of his favor. But the Lord has a people that needs thy salvation. Oh, are there souls, as I find in my text, in our midst, that are truly feigning for thy salvation. Oh, it is true that temporal needs, they are manifold, but the needs for our never-dying soul, the needs for thy salvation, the needs to be pardoned of all of our filthy sins, the need that the curse and the wrath may be removed through the beloved Son of God. Oh, in the Old Testament church, then we read of those longing and those fainting souls. Then I hear the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 64, verse 1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow away at thy presence. Oh, in Psalm 14, verse 7. Oh, that the salvation would come forth from the Lord. And now in our text words, the Lord has a people that learns that it comes all from above. Also that fainting, but what a blessing when there may be those exercised souls, because the Spirit, he grants that fainting that it may be fulfilled in the Lord's time. No, it shall not be congregation that the Lord grants that true and living fainting for the Lord and for his righteousness, and that he shall let those fainting souls perish. Oh, it is true. In the timely world, then there are times that fainting people that they perish, but so it shall not be with the church. And now we read, my soul fainteth for thy salvation. And when we think of this life, then there can be many different reasons why a boy or girl, a man or woman, is given to faint or nearly to faint. Then when there are hungry or thirsty ones, and there are those upon the world, because boys and girls, you have never fainted because of hunger or thirst. But upon the world, there are people, no food and no water, and they faint. And when none is brought, they die. So we also read in the word of a people, Matthew 5, verse 6, that are given to hunger and thirst after righteousness. The need so great, the longing so vehement. There is a people that have learned it. Give me Jesus, else I die. Lord, I need thy righteousness. I need thy salvation. Because I have learned with all my efforts that I am still so unrighteous and so unclean. Then sometime it happens that a person is given to faint when they are traveling, of course, more in former days. Let's picture boys and girls, a traveler, a family going through the desert under the burning sun, that eventually they cannot continue and they faint. Think of Ishmael in Genesis 16. And so there is a people that have learned experientially what it is to labor under the burning sun of the wrath of God, whereby when there comes no solution, no shade and no refuge, that they shall faint and perish, can also be in daily life. When a person, a family, receives heavy tidings, shocking news, that they become dizzy, and it can even be that they faint. Oh, when the Spirit shows them, when the Spirit tells them their condition, without God, without Christ, and without hope, and one step between us and death, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after then the judgment, then they are given to long and to faint after the things of the Lord. Can be when a person is sick in the hospital, when they have undergone surgery, maybe boys and girls, you have one surgery, and then after the operation, then the nurse says, you must get up and walk, and that you have nearly fainted because you were so weak. Oh, so the Spirit shows unto His people their sickness. It is grievous indeed. It is the sickness of sin. And then those souls with profound impressions. Oh, when we think, compictured boys and girls, a boy or girl, a father or mother in the hospital, and then when the doctor comes, we can see it on his face, that he is very sad, very solemn, and that such a physician comes to tell, after the operation, what they have found, that it is a deadly disease, maybe no means, then it can be that such a person nearly faints with such tidings. The Lord has a people where it all becomes real. A body and a soul traveling to a never-ending eternity. And in Romans 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Oh, then what do they need? That is an Advent church. They need the second part of the text, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Then further, it can be that a person nearly faints when they have transgressed the law, and a court date has been set that they must appear before the judge. Then how troubled, how concerned they are when they very well know that they are guilty. And then the day arrives and they enter the courtroom with the judge, with solemn settings, and that their head nearly starts to turn, and that they nearly faint, awaiting the pronouncement of the judge. Then there is the question whether there is deliverance. Are there souls that understand it? My soul fainteth for thy salvation. Oh, it can be under discouragements, one discouragement upon another, so overwhelmed that at times they have no strength to go on. We may also speak of other circumstances. It can be concerning a loved one at a great distance, and especially in earlier days where they did not have the communication. Oh, then a wife, a husband, parents, and children, then they could nearly faint, sort of pine away, because of that longing that their loved one may return and that they may embrace one another. By renewal, so I read in the Song of Solomon, oh, that is a blessed adventure. With everything they have experienced, but that it may be as with the bride, the Song of Solomon, that she was sick of love in congregation. No soul has ever perished because of that sickness and that fainting, because at the Lord's time, then by renewal, they shall be given to embrace. My soul fainteth for thy salvation. When we read that term, that expression, thy salvation, then we can read of those words in different ways in the Bible. At times, in the context, also persecution, then it speaks of a temporal deliverance. We think of Exodus 14. Then the Lord has spoken unto Moses to go forward, and that they would behold the salvation of the Lord. Then other times, thy salvation, that refers to the coming of Christ in the fullness of time. Father Jacob, in Genesis 49, verse 18, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Then other times, then it speaks of the application of salvation. O Simeon, he was given to speak thereof in Luke 2, when he may embrace the Christ child, that he may embrace thy salvation. And other times in the scripture, then it speaks of a clear manifestation of the way of salvation for the child of God. And other times, then it speaks of the work of Christ, what he has all done to merit that salvation. For the Lord thy salvation thought out, merited, and applied. Our second thought, the hoping soul. Then this fainting soul, the psalmist, he has experienced much. He did not faint away, because he had a hope. Of course, there can be many false hopes, but the psalmist is given to speak of a hope out of God's holy word that has been given unto him, we read in our text, but it is true, it is in italics, thus it was not in the original, but it was implied for the church of God. It's not say because. Also what the church needs to learn each time by renewal. But thus the psalmist was given to look outside of himself. The psalmist was given to look above the circumstances. The psalmist was given to look unto the Lord. Thus the psalmist was given to say, oh, it is true. My desires, they are so vehement, tis at times as if I am fainting in the time of waiting, because I need thy salvation, because Lord, with thy salvation, when I may have received it, when it may be applied, then I can live and then I can die, then I shall be better to praise thee, because in that time of fainting there can come so many enemies, and then the soul thinks, when I may now receive thy salvation, then my mouth shall be so open to sing the glorious praises of the Lord, to extol free and sovereign grace. And now the psalmist was given to declare, but I hope in thy word. The grace of hope that is given unto a soul in the moment of regeneration. And therefore they shall not despair. Oh, it is true. And come very low, close to fainting. But now for the exercise of that hope. That's a true hope. A hope given by the Holy Spirit. Then such a soul is so dependent upon the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. And now that word hope, that has a broad meaning. Because that word hope, that is not a passive hope, but that is a well-grounded hope. And that word implies hoping, waiting, and to be actively waiting, to look unto the Lord for thy salvation. In the Bible, it is called in 1 Peter 2 verse 2, a lively hope. In Romans 12 verse 12, rejoicing in hope, because such a soul with her hope, faith and hope, they are very closely related. Sometime in the scripture used interchangeably. And when the Lord speaks to the soul, then they may be given to embrace it by faith, and then they may be given to rejoice, as if they have the benefit in their arms already. Oh, for an Abram, when he was given to believe in the promise that he would receive a child, then to make it simple for our boys and girls, then he was given to rejoice as if he had that child already, his Isaac. But then hope says it must still come in the full fulfillment. And therefore in that hope, there is that waiting. And now the psalmist, when he was given to speak of his hope, Job, in Job 27, 9 and 10, has also spoken of the hope of a hypocrite and how that hope can be attacked, because that true hope dead as many enemies. Oh, then we could speak of that enemy unbelief. Look on how impossible it shall be. Oh, then the devil who loves to pester his child delays when it seems it cannot be. It is true, for that true hope. Then Thomas Brooks has said, the delays are not denials, but when it takes so long and it becomes more and more impossible, oh, what an enemies there are of that living hope for a child of God. And concerning that hope for that waiting, oh, the Old Testament church, how they have hoped and how they have waited. What was now also necessary for that church? To receive light upon the promise. Because in Genesis 4, Eve has even said, with the birth of Cain, I have received the man-child from Jehovah. But Cain was not the promised child. Oh, a Lamech with Noah. This one shall comfort us concerning the work of our hands. Thus in the Old Testament, a longing, a waiting church. Read in Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. Verse 6, more than the watchers in the morning, O Malachi 4, verse 1, unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Ah, that true hope granted by the Spirit lively exercises, it is true. Oh, it can go through such a depths, and it can become so impossible. And then that hope is so questioned, it is examined. But now, what was the foundation of the hope of our psalmist? He did not say, I hope in my emotions, my feelings, my thoughts, does not go outside of it. In my reasoning, but my hope that is in thee and in thy word. Thus the hope of the psalmist was in the promises which the Lord has given for his people. And those promises, they have an address. And that address includes the different circumstances, the different encampment of the child of God, and it perfectly suits their case. For a people that at times cannot declare their own life, because the Lord leads his people oftentimes in such mysterious ways, but then they may hear their life declared in God's word. And the promises are for the church. But what do those fainting souls now desire and need? A promise applied. which they may be given to embrace by faith, given to rejoice with joy unspeakable, and to wait upon the Lord. And in that waiting, also read that in the Psalm verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Oh, at times, that they may be given to point to the Lord, to his word, what he has spoken it, and to become exercised with the Lord, his attributes, his power, his goodness, his faithfulness, his truth, also his justice, how there may be thy salvation for a sinner as I am. Let us first sing. Psalter 331, the four stanzas. My soul for thy salvation faints, but still I hope in thee. I long to see thy promise help when thou shalt comfort me. And what follows, 331, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the exercises of the soul of the true Advent Church. The feigning soul, the hoping soul, and now the questioning soul. And then we read in verse 82, mine eyes fail afore thy word. And that word fail, that can also have regard to straining, the straining of the eyes. To give a simple example that our children can understand it, then you can understand when Abram has sent a servant to fetch a wife for Isaac, and then it is specifically mentioned that Isaac was meditating, that he was praying in the field. And then you can understand, boys and girls, that Isaac has figured it out a little bit, how long it would take for the servant to go to Haran, and if he may be prosperous, how long it would take to return, and that many times he has looked in the distance, strained his eyes, maybe when he saw a little dust, that he thought the camels are coming. And then we read, it is specifically mentioned that there was a time that the camels were coming. Thus a vehement desire that the Lord would fulfill what he has spoken through his word, his promise concerning thy salvation. We also read of Hezekiah on his sickbed, my eyes fail from looking upward. And then we read, mine eyes fail for thy word. Thus these two verses, they stress thy word. There the salvation is declared, thy word, that is a word that has been given, but that has been personally applied to the heart. When wilt thou comfort me, Lord? I have begged already so long, and still no solution. Ah, may it be in this season, have there been souls with such a prayer. Lord, may it now be in this season, that I may be gladdened what thou hast spoken out of thy word, that it may be fulfilled, that I may be given to behold and embrace thy salvation, the Christ child whose name is Jesus, who has come to save his people from their sins. Oh, it is true, the psalmist has spoken of fainting, and he has spoken, my eyes fail for thy word. But the Lord has a people upon the earth that know what blessed exercises they are, and in that fainting and failing, then the Lord shall not be a land of outer darkness. Then what a privilege it is when the Lord sheds further light upon his holy word concerning the way of salvation, but also further in the way of confirmation. When wilt thou comfort me? And then it is clear in this psalm that David has experienced much of the comfort of the Lord. He has spoken in many texts of the sweet things of the Lord. But in the context, then it concerns thy salvation. Lord, I need the righteousness which thy dear Son has merited. When? Oh, what a deep word. What a profound word. And those waiting souls, they are much exercised with that word when. They have received the hope out of God's holy word, and it is true. How that when can be attacked by the enemies of faith, but nevertheless, oh, there are souls. If they could only believe that indeed there soon would be a time that they could behold thy salvation, then they think, then I shall so patiently wait for it. But how that when could be attacked, concerning their hope, whether it was truly of the Lord, or strong desires. Because when we have strong desires, we can find a text. Imagination. The prince of darkness as an angel of light. How troubled they can be. But when? When shalt thou comfort me? Then we could speak of the wise reasons why the Lord causes his people to wait. But time does not permit us in this morning. But when wilt thou comfort me? Then we have an Advent soul in our text. Can be in different ways, the beginning, but also in the furtherance, can be under discouragements, disappointments, impossibilities, can be in the way of backsliding, all in the New Testament church. When we read the first two chapters of Luke, then what an Advent church we have. And the psalmist was honest and come quite low. For I am become like a bottle in the smoke because of all the attacks of the enemy, because of unbelief. And in the Old Testament, boys and girls, they did not have bottles like we do, but skin sacks, all shriveled up and black. But for the true child of God, there is something in that bottle which no enemy, none upon the world, no devil can rob themselves of. And that is the precious work of the Lord, a heart full of love for the Lord, for his word, for his people, for his day, for his institutions, a bottle with that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, and inside that bottle, that vehement desire, that great need, no rest outside of thy salvation. And how is it now possible that salvation, that is possible congregation, that one has come upon the earth, the beloved Son of the Father, and that he has experienced what it is to faint and to fail on account of the sins of that Advent people. They have been placed upon him. Oh, see him then, Church of God, see him then, congregation, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Psalm 22, verse 6. I am a worm and no man, crawled upon the earth under the wrath of his Father, fainting. We read his sweat became as gray drops of blood. Oh, see him then, carrying the cross on the way to Calvary, that he succumbed. See him then on the cross, fainting, failing. He has cried out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He has cried out, I thirst. And in that way, to merit for that Advent Church, oh, that have experienced something of that fainting and failing, they have learned that they need that salvation, that in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, there is eternal life. Because he has fainted, then that church may receive a well-grounded hope, and they shall never, we read thereof in Romans 5, verse 5, that true hope shall never be put to shame, because the love of God is shed abroad in the heart. And to that end, the church may testify with an Asaph, as we read it in Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant the application. May we be given to examine each of our hearts, our souls, as we hasten to eternity. What we are feigning, what we are longing for, whether it is only for the things of this time, or whether it is of thee and the things pertaining to thy salvation, ah, Lord. 'Tis declared in thy holy word that for those true seekers, for those fainting souls, with those vehement desires, as the prophet has declared, with my soul have I desired thee in the night, that thou shalt grant their petition and their desire, as has been fulfilled when thy Son has come upon the earth for an Advent Church. Ah, Lord, work then richly and mightily by thy Spirit in the hearts of young and old. Remember the mourning family. Watch over us in this day. Return us in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 73. The stanzas 5 and 6. My heart had failed in fear and woe. unless in God I had believed, assured that he would mercy show, and what follows. The consistory announces the following, the Lord willing. There will be a male members meeting on Thursday, December 19 at 7:30 p.m. And the funeral arrangements for Mr. David Habuer. There will be visitation on Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. and therefore no catechism classes. And the funeral will be on Tuesday afternoon at 1:30 p.m., both at the Pitcherview Church. Psalter 73, the stanzas 5 and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.